Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, once again to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. We do want to welcome everybody here this morning. We're glad that you're here. And let's see. Let me just erase some of this here. Real quick for clarification, I know we mentioned a couple of weeks ago about some of the changes that the access to this building, the building next door. We no longer have access to the other building, the main part, but we do still have access through the back way to the bathrooms. We do have this building. They're not telling us we have to leave this building. We can stay in this building for, I guess, as long as we keep paying the bills and so forth. Oh, that's kind of funny because the city hasn't billed us and they've actually told Dan, don't send the check yet. Because they've got some mix up but we're setting aside. We have all the money to pay them and everything. But at any rate, we also have access to the building that's right behind the library that's right down the street. So there is a possibility that we might just relocate the main services there. I don't know yet. We're just still trying to work some of that out. But we don't necessarily have to be, we're not being displaced from this building, in other words. They've really been trying to work with us. The city's been really good. We've been, you know, here for several years and they've really been trying to help us out. But it is kind of a change, a big change, not having access to the other building. But we just have to make do, you know, so. Well, yeah, you know, so what do you say? Okay, let's open up our Bibles once again, if you would, with me to the book of Romans. This time what I want you to do, I actually want you to go back to chapter 5. Go back to chapter number 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. We're actually in chapter 8. I don't want to give the impression that we're backtracking necessarily, but I do want to pick up a bit of information here in Romans chapter 5 at verse 5. It says this, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." Now here's the phrase I want you to notice. "By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." I trust that you will recall that in chapter number 8 of Romans, that the Apostle Paul mentions the Holy Spirit more in one chapter in the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8, than he does really anywhere else in his other writings. And in chapter 5 is where he tells us that the Holy Spirit's been given to us. And we have been talking about prayer. We've been talking about, or trying to convey the aspect of the role or the job, if I can say, of the Holy Spirit in the prayer life of the believer. And so we're going to continue to talk about that this morning. Let's unite our hearts now in the word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together and look into your word and allow your word to penetrate our thinking, to penetrate our inner man for the purpose of having us grow in our relationship to you. And enjoying who you are, enjoying your love for us and your care for us and your wisdom and the insight that your word gives us. And we do pray to that end for your glory and honor in Christ's name. Amen. The topic to the message this morning, continuing this series on prayer, is how the teacher teaches. How the teacher teaches. And I'm not sure if you've ever thought about that when you do pray. Do you pray, by the way? Yes, you do, right? Especially when you're being cut off on the freeway, right? That kind of thing. And you heard the old joke that as long as there are tests in school, there's always going to be prayer in school, you know, kind of a thing. There's always times when people, you know, cry out to God and so forth. But we're not talking so much about we're not talking at all about religious prayer and that kind of thing or just memorizing something. But we're actually talking about praying, talk to the Lord. Did you talk to the Lord this week? Yes? No? Some of you did. What about the rest of you? No, you didn't? Well, what did he say? It depends, right? It depends, yeah. Yeah, man, there you go. We mentioned last time that what you were supposed to do this past week was talk to the Lord. Because basically prayer is just talking to the Lord, right? And it is kind of funny when you talk to people about prayer. Did you talk to God this week? Yeah. What did he say? It's amazing the things that people say. You know, really, well, he said this and said that and said the other thing and so forth. See, one thing that Ted and Debbie didn't tell you about, remember they sang the song last time about praying for a Mercedes-Benz and then for Chevrolet, and no, he was going to pray for Chevrolet, and then just by the next round. But they did pray that God would quickly sell their house so they could get out of town, right? No, they didn't. No, for sure they didn't do that. But when people, you ask them, did you talk to God this week? They say, yeah, and then they talk about all kinds of different things that God said. Well, we want to understand, you know, how is it that God does answer our prayers? How is it that he does respond to our prayers? How is it that the teacher teaches, leads, guides, that type of thing? It's a real important issue. It's a very important issue. It's vital to understanding what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. And so the topic this morning is how the teacher teaches. When Paul praise things like. Let me have you look at a passage over here. Go to Ephesians 1. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1 here. Look at Ephesians 1. And Ephesians chapter number 1 is one of the great prayers for the believers that Paul records here. He says at verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now watch verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory," now here's the statement, "may give unto you the Spirit and wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." You see how Paul is praying there that God would give us something? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the, have you ever thought, okay, how does God do that? How would God answer that prayer? Ever thought about that? And somebody already said it. So when we talk about how the teacher teaches, how does the Holy Spirit teach us? Does the Holy Spirit teach us? If so, how? Does it happen? Does teaching actually occur? And so we want to spend a little bit of time this morning look at that issue, since we're talking about the Holy Spirit and prayer, how the Holy Spirit is involved in the prayer life of the believer. Now, there's one very critical issue to talk about, or one very critical point to make before we go into the details of this message. And that is, when we say, how does the Holy Spirit teach the believer, what's the important qualification we're making there? There you go. You have to be a believer. In order to be taught by the Holy Spirit, you have to have the Holy Spirit. In order to get the Holy Spirit, you have to... Okay. Notice again, go back to Romans 5. The reason I went to this verse is, look at the statement here. In order to have the Holy Spirit, well, you have to be a believer. Look at Romans 5 and verse 5 again. And notice the statement. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost," which is, what's the next word there? Given. 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 What? When you think of the word given, what should you think of? A gift. It's a gift. It's free. It's given, right? Understand this, that not every person that you come in contact with, not every person on the face of the planet has the indwelling Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Also, just because someone talks about God, just because someone is, quote unquote, interested in spiritual things, and even just because someone might talk about Jesus or talk about religious things, that doesn't mean that they necessarily have the indwelling Holy Spirit. So, who has the Holy Spirit? And how do you know? Well, look with me, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter number 1. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Who has the Holy Spirit and how do you know? Who has the Holy Spirit and how do you know? Look at this verse here. Look at Ephesians 1 and notice verse 13. Look at Ephesians 1:13. It says this, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Notice your salvation. Let me keep reading. "In whom also after that ye," what? Believed. Believed what? In the verse. The gospel of your salvation. It says, "In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." According to God's Word, in order to even have the Holy Spirit, what had to happen first? You had to have heard the gospel, and then when you heard it, you had to have what? Believed the claim. So very simply put, what is the gospel? After all, I mean, in order to get the Holy Spirit, you have to have heard the gospel. You had to believe the gospel. But what is the gospel? Well, we're talking about the gospel, the grace of God. Simply put this way, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He did not die for His own sins. He died for someone else's sins. He died for our sins. And He was buried and rose again the third day. And His shed blood, when He hung at the cross there, that shed blood was shed on purpose. His death was not the death of a martyr. His death was the death of a sacrifice. Okay? That's an important. It was a blood sacrifice, not simply a martyr. And His shed blood is the payment. It actually paid the full 100% price of all the sins of all mankind of all time. Okay, everybody got that? His shed blood paid the absolute full 100% price of all sins of all mankind of all time. So there's the payment. There's His work at the cross of Calvary. There's the good news. The fact that Christ paid for all sins of all mankind of all time, why is that good news to you? Because that means He did it for me. See, it's one thing to realize He paid for all sins of all mankind of all time, but that means He paid for my sins. Why is that good news? Because I sin, and the wages of sin is death. And the moment that I trust the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for my salvation, think about how simple this is. And yet, the slap in the face against human works. The moment you trust the blood of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, that split second that you trust that, that's when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You don't get sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise because of some promise you make. You get sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise because of the promise that God made. You don't get saved because of some commitment that you make. You get saved because of the commitment the Lord Jesus Christ made. You don't get saved because of some condition that you satisfied in terms of human works and your good works. You get saved because the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, satisfied the justice of God on my behalf and on your behalf. And the split second that you trust the blood of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, that is when you get saved. That is when your eternal life begins. That's when you receive, by faith, the Holy Spirit. You didn't even know what happened unless somebody showed you the verse. The Holy Spirit was given unto you, and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Is that good or bad? Is that a good thing? That's why is that awesome? Because you can never lose it. Why else is it awesome?
We don't like the
bird. Amen, sister. You know, listen, that's wonderful news to know that God forgave you of all of your sins. We were talking with the young men on Wednesday night before Bible study, and the question came up about eternal security. Is eternal security, is it true? I mean, can you lose your salvation once you're truly saved? Well, let me just real quickly address it this way. If you could lose your salvation after you trusted Christ, then that means that there must have been some sin you committed and you didn't repent of it before you died. That means there must have been some sin you committed that God, therefore, said, well, you're out of my family. Everybody with me so far? If you're going to say you can lose your salvation, then on what grounds would you say you could lose it? Well, adultery, fornication, murder, you robbed a bank. You pick the sin. Doesn't you pick it, whatever you think it is. Lying, cheating. Yeah, exactly. You know, we don't have these carnal sins and venial sins, mortal sins, whatever. You pick the sin, whatever you think it is, or result in you losing your salvation. And ask yourself this question. Did the blood of Christ already pay for that sin? Yes or no?
Yes.
When God forgave you of all your sins, did He have a momentary Alzheimer's, or is that the word, where you forget something? Senior moment, and He forgot, oh, that particular, I'm so sorry, you know, John, I'm so sorry. When I forgave you of all your sins, I forgot you were going to commit that one, and now I got to get, I'm sorry, John, you're out of here, buddy. I mean, that's it, absolutely calling God a liar. So, there's a reason that you're secure. And the reason has nothing to do with you. The reason has nothing to do with your conduct or your thoughts or your lack of faith. The reason has to do with whether or not the value of the blood of Christ was enough to pay for all of your sins. And whether or not at the moment you got saved, the justice of God saw all of your sins under the blood. You see, understand that? Security is not conditioned upon us. Because if it was, which one? Yeah, what's there? We're in big trouble. Security is because of the faith of Christ. That's wonderful to know. And in order to have the Holy Spirit, you first of all have had to trust the blood of Christ for your salvation. Now, the split second that you trusted the blood of Jesus Christ for your salvation, that's when God the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. That's when you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So if I was to ask you today, do you have the indwelling Holy Spirit? What would you say?
Yes.
How do you know? How would you know?
Because God's Word says
so. There you go. Because God's Word says so, and it says that it was, what, Tom? Was given to you. See, you don't want to appeal to, if someone says, well, do you have the indwelling Holy Spirit? Yes. How do you know? Well, I just feel Him. No, ma'am. No, sir. That was a little wine you had last night. Don't care or whatever, you know. You go to an exciting football game or an exciting hockey game and you'll feel something, all right, you know, especially if the people sitting next to you are on the other team. You'll feel something, all right. No. Walking by faith in what God says. God says, if you trust the blood of Christ, I'll save you. When you trust the blood of Christ, I sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's how you know you have the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's not experience. In fact, once again, if no one showed you the verses, you wouldn't even know that you had the Holy Spirit. But you know it because the verses say so. You walk by faith in what God says. Feelings are what? How would you describe feelings?
Variable.
What'd you say, Eric?
Roller coaster.
What else?
Easily manipulated.
Conditional. Deceiving. They're said to be deceitful lusts. Think about those two words. Lusts that are just plain old deceitful. Just lies to you. That's why, don't trust your feelings. People say, oh, God was just leading me in my heart to do this. You better go the other way. The Bible says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Well, then don't trust it. Don't say things, well, in my heart I feel this, and claim that that's God, or claim that that's a walk of faith. You know, it's funny because we all do this, and I'm part of the all, right? But we all say, well, God knows my heart. You know, we're trying to justify something we want to do. Well, God knows my heart. You know, we want to do this. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He says it's deceitful and desperately wicked. He told you what He knows about your heart. Think about that. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, there's the verse right there. That's what He says about your heart. Don't trust your heart. Trust His Word. You see that? So if the Holy Spirit is going to teach us, we first of all have to have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, now that you know that you have the Holy Spirit, how does the Holy Spirit teach? How is He going to do it? All right. Here's what we should do. Let's a couple of interesting references here. Go with me to the Gospel of John. Go with me to the Gospel of John here. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, first of all, let me make an important caveat, clarification, hopefully not confuse anybody here. Remember that when you are studying, when you are reading the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are not reading the information that is specifically to you and about you today in the dispensation of grace. Let me say that again. When you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are not reading doctrine for today. Let me say that again. Okay? When you're reading the Gospel of Counts, when you're reading the earthly ministry of Christ, the records of the earthly ministry of Christ, I'm not discounting them. I'm not saying throw them out of your Bible. I'm not saying never read them. We're studying through Matthew on Wednesday nights. But when you're reading the Gospel of Counts, you have to remember that it's not specifically to us, nor is it about us. When you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're reading the earthly ministry of Christ to the nation of Israel. They're still upholding the law, blood sacrifices. Did you know that? You knew that, right? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're still offering blood sacrifices. They're still practicing physical circumcision. They're still practicing the law and so forth. If somebody says that you should be following Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, ask them about those issues. Say, are you saying I should be offering blood sacrifices? Are you saying I should be circumcising to fulfill the law? And those kind of things. And of course they're going to say, well, no. And they say, but wait, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So there's a disconnect there. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read, and you should. You read all the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. You read all the Bible, but you read it from the standpoint of where you are in the Bible. And you're not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not you. You're not Israel. Okay? There's a passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ here in John 14 and John 16 speaks about the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason I'm going to go here, because there's some interesting things that he says about the Holy Spirit. And I want to see, there's going to be a parallel here. There's going to be a principle here, a couple of them that I want you to see. The Lord Jesus Christ says here in John chapter 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. Christ says this, and he says it to the 12 apostles here. Matthias would have been the 12th, but at any rate, was the 12th. But look at 26. Christ says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So you know who he's talking about, right? He's talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit there. Watch what he says here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay, watch this now. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now hold that verse and go over to chapter 16. Go over to chapter 16 here. And look with me at verse 13. We're going to do a comparison with these verses here. Look at 16, verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. All right. I want you to write down four quick points on these verses. Four quick points. Go back to chapter 14. And then I'm going to make an important clarification. Okay? Back to chapter 14, verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Number one, He shall teach you all things. That's the first point to write down. Number two, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Number three, chapter 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will, this is number three, guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will, number four, show you things to come. Those four points. Got those? And you can see them right in the verses. All right, now, first of all, let's make sure that we appreciate what Christ is saying in the context. The context is, Christ is preparing the 12 apostles to go through the tribulation period. Question, are you going through the tribulation period? No. Say no, reel it out. One, two, three, no. Okay? That's not your program. Number two, at the time that Christ is saying this, had the New Testament been written yet? Any of it? No. What Christ is teaching the apostles here, one of the reasons that He is going to give them the Holy Spirit in this context, it's not the only reason, there are many, many reasons they're going to get the Holy Spirit, but in this context, think about it, look at the verse, go back to chapter 14, verse 26. 14, 26, think about it. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You ever wondered, how is it that the disciples, when they wrote the New Testament, when they wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and so forth, how did they remember all that stuff? Especially in the light of the fact that during the vast majority of His ministry, He says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that was written. It wasn't until way at the end of their ministry they began to get a real glimpse of what's going on, right? So how then did these guys remember word by word by word by word, every single word whatsoever Christ said to them. How'd they do it? That verse tells you right there. That verse is a prophecy. It's a prediction of the Lord Jesus Christ about how the New Testament documents, specifically Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so forth, would come about. How they would be written. God the Holy Spirit would, as it says here, teach them all things. Bring all things to their remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then in chapter 16, verse 13, would guide them into all truth and show them things to come. See that? So one of the main purposes of the Holy Spirit in Israel's program as it pertained to the 12 apostles had to do with the making the record of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody understand what I'm saying about that? Everybody got me on that? Okay? Well, are you going to write the New Testament? No, shake your head, no. How come you should have said no right away. What's up here? How come you're not going to write the New Testament? It's already written. You already got it there. So you're not going to have the Holy Spirit indwelling you for the purpose of having you write, you know, the earthly ministry of Christ. It's already there. But four of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to teach you all things, guide, as it says, bring all things to your remembrance, guide you into all truth, show you things to come. How did the Holy Spirit do that for, like, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John? How did He do it? The doctrine of inspiration. He gave them the words to write down. Do you have those words? Okay. So is there a parallel? Does the Holy Spirit yet today take the same words that He gave to those guys to write down, and is He still interested in teaching you what Christ said? Absolutely. That's my point. Even though the context here isn't talking specifically to you, it's not even talking directly to the whole nation of Israel, by the way. It's talking specifically to the disciples here. That Christ is predicting how the New Testament was going to come about, specifically the earthly ministry of Christ. Well, if the Holy Spirit, if His responsibility in along these lines was to teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, guide you into all truth, show you things to come, then is the Holy Spirit going to still do that today? Yes or no? But how? Not the same way He did it for these guys. Inspiration. Say how? It's going to happen how? Because you have the Word of God right here today already. You have it in your possession. Now turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 here. Watch this. At I'm going to start down at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says this. But God hath revealed them unto us, next three words, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Every single human being, every child of Adam, has the spirit of a man. Of a human being, you know, homo sapien, whatever, okay? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now watch verse 12 very carefully, verse 12 and 13. Now we have, what's the next word there? Remember the very first verse we started with? Romans 5:5, the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. When you believe the gospel, you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you find out here that you received the Holy Spirit. But there's a Spirit that you didn't receive. Look at what it says here. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. We already had that Spirit. And it was a lie. It kept telling us lies, okay? He says here, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Look at the next phrase. Why? Why? What's it say there? That we might know. That we might know. That we... In that verse, why did we receive the Spirit of God? What was the intention in that verse? Knowledge. Everybody, see, we saw the intention in Ephesians 1. That is to seal us with the Holy Spirit of promise. The intention in this verse is to convey knowledge, to convey information. Let's keep going and see what he says. What kind of information? That we might know the things that are... What's that word there? What kind of word is that one? That's the grace word. I always hear Beth say that. That's the grace word. That's the grace word right there. That's a word about grace. The things that are freely, next word, given. Another grace word, right? See that? So in this context, when Paul is speaking about the Holy Spirit and so forth, the Holy Spirit is given to us, we receive Him, that we might know. So it's knowledge. Knowledge about what? Free things. Things that are given freely to us of God. Now, if you had to come up with a couple of cross-references about things that are freely given to you, what might be some cross-references? Okay, Ephesians 2 would be one, would be a wonderful. Let's go. Are you thinking of 2, 8, and 9? How about that one? Let's turn there. Hold on to 1 Corinthians 2. Hold on to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go over here to Ephesians 2. Let's just look at these verses here. The Holy Spirit's given to us for the purpose of conveying information. Information about free things, freely given. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Eric, you want to read those? And verse 10, you want to read those out loud for us, please?
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
See that? Is there anything in that verse that's been freely given? And if so, what is it? What is it? For by grace are you, what? Saved! How about salvation? How about, anybody got another one? What's that? Romans 6, what did you say? 23? Did you say Romans 6, 23? Look at Romans 6, 23 real quick. Look at Romans 6, 23. Romans 6, 23, it says, for the wages of sin is what? That's the bad news, but the what? Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See that? The Holy Spirit's given to us that we might know. That is to convey information. Information about what? Information about things that have been freely given to us. Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Watch this. He, this is verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also, next two words there, freely give us all things. There's some more free information. Don't you love free? Free! When you get the circulation about what the sales are at the grocery store or at Steinmart or Kmart or whatever, you know, they buy one, get one free.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's not free. What's that? That's just a 50% discount. That's all that was. God's not telling you buy one, get one free. He says it's all free because it's all been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ already. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter number 1. This is the one I thought you were going to go to, Eric, okay? Well, look at this. Look at this, Ephesians 1, 3. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, what's the next word there? Hath, it's already done. It's already passed. It's already happened. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with some spiritual blessing. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't you love that verse? Go back with me to 1 Corinthians 2. So, one of the main reasons that we have the Holy Spirit today as believers is to teach us. Look at the verse again. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. It's to convey information. We have them to teach us something that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So if the Holy Spirit is going to teach us about something, again, I'm going to use those four principles. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring to your remembrance. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. Now, I understand the context of those things was the writing of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament, and so forth. But you understand it's still His Word. He's still going to teach His Word, right? So if He's going to, in this verse, if He was given to teach us that we might know the things that are freely given, if the Holy Spirit's going to tell us something, what's it going to be about? What about God? There's a lot of things about God. Relationship with the believer today about what? Under what? Somebody said it. Under grace. He's going to remind us about things that have been freely given. Is the Holy Spirit going to put you under the law? So, if someone says, well, the Spirit of God told me, and then all of a sudden they've got either themselves or you under the law, you know what you can say about that? You can say the Spirit of God did not say that, and you'd be right about it. Okay? Yeah, you're in the wrong dispensation or whatever. But on the other hand, if someone comes along and they're a little excited, you know, Scott from Albuquerque's mom's right over here, he's just a wee bit excited about some of these things. That guy calls me 6, 8, 10 times a week, leaving messages on my cell phone, sending me emails. Eric's been so helpful because he's answering my emails. I don't have time to get off of this. But he's just so excited. John, I'm studying this and I just saw this. And he hangs up 5 minutes later. He's just a wee bit excited about it, right? Am I right? You know, that's her son over there, you know. And somebody comes along and is excited about the grace of God, and they're excited about you're complete in Him, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and you've been accepted in the Beloved. You're forgiven of all your sins. Are those the kinds of things that the Spirit of God would be conveying today? Amen. You see the great contrast there? Someone comes along and puts you under some bondage, and you say, you know, I don't think the Spirit of God's over there. You know, I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit. It's not talking about speaking in tongues. Of course, here we're talking in English, right? Being filled with the Spirit is letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, enjoying the riches of His grace, the riches of the things that have been freely given to us in Christ. See that there? Not only that, keep reading. Look at verse 13 now. Very important. Which things... Question. What things? Previous verse. The things that are freely given to us of God. See that? The things of His grace. Verse 13. Which things also we speak. See, Paul's speaking about these things freely given, right? Watch this. Which things also we speak. Not in the what? I hope you have that word underlined or marked or highlighted. Listen. That verse says, which things also we speak, not in the words. When Paul taught, when he spoke, what was he teaching? He was using words. W-O-R-D-S. He was using words. See that there? Keep reading. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but what? But words, right? Which the Holy Ghost, what's the next word there? That verse says, the Holy Ghost teacheth. So does the Holy Ghost teach? That's what that verse says. And it says this, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does the Holy Ghost teach? Remember I said back in John 14, John 16, I was making a parallel. That's all I'm doing over there. Christ said about the Holy Spirit, He's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring to your remembrance. He's going to guide you into all truth. And He will show you things to come. Now for them, that was the writing of the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you have that written record? Yes. You not only have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Guess who else writing you have? You have the writing of your apostle. The apostle of the Gentiles. That got the revelation of the mystery. It's the same words of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's just a different program. So is the Holy Spirit going to teach us today? Yes. Using whose words? His words. the very words that you've got in your Bible in general, and specifically Paul's epistles in this dispensation. God the Holy Spirit is going to teach us using His words. Question. One of the principles was, He'll bring to your remembrance. Okay, now you've got, as a saved person, you have the old nature, you got the flesh, they just call it the flesh, and you've got who you are in Christ, the new man. Which one of, and you're not schizophrenic by the way, alright, which one of you, the old man, or who you are in Christ, which one of you loves the Word of God? Does your old man love the Word of God? Listen, your old man hates the Word of God. Are you saying about your flesh? Until the day we die, our flesh is never going to get to the place where it loves the Word of God. The solution for the flesh is death. Knowing this, Romans says, knowing this, that an old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Our flesh never loves the Word of God. If it ever even tries to use the Word of God, it copies Satan's use. How did Satan use it? He used the Word of God to try to tempt Christ to rebel against God the Father. Remember that in the temptation? So, when you are in a place in your life where maybe you're going through some difficulty and you begin to think about Scripture and you remember a verse of Scripture and it brings comfort to your soul, was that your old flesh remembering that verse? Or was it the indwelling Holy Spirit in your inner man saying, here, John, this is the verse that will comfort you right now. Which one was it? See what I mean there? The Holy Spirit teaches us using His words. Now that's an absolutely important reason why we need to have the words of God on the pages of God's Word, but there's another place where we need to have the words of God. Where? In us. In us. We have to know them. You've got to get the words in you, you know? Now I understand as time goes by and old timer sets in, you forget some of those. So go back here. You got the book. It's written down right there. Don't you also find in your experience too as a believer that sometimes you're reading through the Bible again or you're studying through something and you go, man, I had that verse underlined, it's marked, it's highlighted, and I forgot about it. Doesn't that happen to you? You go, oh man, that's the perfect verse for this. I know it's in there somewhere. It happens constantly. You go, oh man. I mean, we were talking about you're reading through Jeremiah right now, and I'm telling you, and I've read the Bible through a number of times throughout the years and everything, and I still go back and say, Lord, when did you sneak in and put that verse in my Bible? You know? When did you sneak in and add that? You had the same thing happen. But you know, you got to get the words of God off the page of the written and get it into us. God teaches us using words, His words. Look with me at another couple of verses. Watch this. Go with me over to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Let's do this quickly here. Watch this. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and notice verse 130. Psalms 119, verse 130. Look at this. Psalms 119, verse 130. Look at that verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That's a great verse, isn't it? So if we want light, and that's the big question, isn't it? If we want light, if we want understanding, what do we need to allow to get into us? God's words. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us using His words. Now, that being the case, how is it the Holy Spirit is not going to teach us? What's He not going to use to teach us? Everybody said it already. Feelings. It's interesting how when you ask that question against this backdrop, everybody automatically knows, wow, you know, not feelings, not circumstances, and yet, how is it we tend to think that He is teaching us? We do tend to look at feelings, at circumstances, and say, oh, God's trying to teach me this. Listen, we've got to understand this. If we're going to be taught by the Spirit of God, rather than the spirit of this world, God, the Holy Spirit, is going to teach us using His words. We need to abandon the concept, the idea, that I'm going to depend on my feelings, my impressions, my heart. You know, we all think our heart is so wonderful. You know? And my heart, my wife's heart, she's wonderful, you know? I had to say that or else I wouldn't get lunch. But anyway, you know? But you understand it? That when it comes to knowing God's will, knowing God's Word, knowing a walk of faith, let's not appeal to feelings, circumstances, emotions. That's just roller coaster up and down all over the place. Sure, that's not exactly what that is. Instead, we appeal to the written Word of God, the very words on the page, because that's what God, the Holy Spirit, had the Bible writers write. It was God's words. And those words is how, those words are how God, the Holy Spirit, will teach us, will guide us into all truth, will show us things to come, and of course, will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not near done with this subject. And yet, the clock tells me we're done. You know, we got to do something with that clock here. I'm serious. That thing's always wrong. It's like, you know, yes, sir. I couldn't hear you. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's a good contrast and a good comparison. It really is, John. Yeah. Okay. Good, good. Let me have you look at two other passages and then we'll just kind of wrap this up real quick here. Watch this. Get with me 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 1. I want to leave you with these two verses and think about these verses this week, if you would. Look at these two verses. You should have 1 Timothy 6 and 2 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 6, 2 Timothy 1. There are two phrases here I want you to think about. Notice we're talking about the Holy Spirit is going to teach us using words. What kind of words? Well, God's words. Yes, that's true. But something even more specific than that. Look at these two verses here. 1 Timothy 6:3, it says this. If any man, now what's the word there? Teach. Okay? So there's teaching going on. If any man teach other 6:3, 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to, what's that word there? You've got wholesome, wholesome. Wholesome what? Words. Okay, now, take that phrase and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of what? Sound words. Is there a connection there? If something is wholesome, what is true of it? What are you saying? It's good for you because it will provide nutrition, therefore strength, energy. It's carbohydrates, fuel for your, what you talk about. You want to, for lunch, you know what? Like Ken and Dan, they always go buy unwholesome food. Taco Bell, Burger King, you know, whatever. You know? Go get wholesome food, because wholesome food provides proper nutrition for your body, hence your, you know, you have the energy, it's more efficient, you don't have all the aches and pains, you don't look like the person that's sitting next to you. Anyway, so understand, wholesome words are words, we're talking in the spiritual realm, words now that are nutritious, spiritually speaking. They have the vitamins A, the vitamin D, vitamin C. By the way, vitamin C is not chocolate. Anyway, you know that? So you've got words that are wholesome. But so too, those words are sound, not just noise, but sound in what sense? You say someone is sound in mind and body. What are you saying about them? They're stable, their mind is still working, you know, not like somebody, anyway, you know, it's still working. It's working properly. They're thinking clearly, and their body is still strong. The knees still work, and they don't creak constantly and ache constantly. Well, so too, there are words, God's words, that produce soundness in you. God's words that are nutritious for you. Hence, they work together. See that there? God, the Holy Spirit, teaches using His words. And His Word rightly divided. We'll have to talk about that more next time because we're out of time this morning, okay? So, when you pray and God talks back to you, and He does, and I mean that in a good way, what's He going to say And how do you know? It's going to be His words. It's going to be His words. God says He exalts His word even above His own name. So when we're reading the very words of God, we are praying without ceasing. We are communicating with the Father, and He's certainly communicating with us. Isn't that amazing to think about that? An ongoing, nonstop relationship with the lover of our soul. He gave us His Word. We can read it and just let it get into us. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time that we can spend this looking in Your Word, about Your Word, and about Your words. And we pray, God, and ask that as we do so in our own personal lives, that we would allow those wholesome words, those sound words, to work in us for Your glory and honor in Christ's name. Amen.